This is September 8th, 2011, and the topic this month is Back to the Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Not only is it Back to the Basics, we're going to split the each week up. There's four more weeks left in the month of September. And tonight we're going to just talk about metaphysics itself and try to explain what metaphysics is, because a lot of people think it's a metaphysical teaching. You hear the word metaphysics, but what exactly is metaphysics? So let's see if we can do something about that. But before we start all that, let me not only say good evening, let me also say that I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope you're working on that, and I'm always working on it, because I forget it myself, and I fall into the world and think, well, I'm just human and all this, that, and the other thing, and we have to change our thinking about that. Now, in my month off and my weeks in Pennsylvania, which I call the land of Nod, my brother and I were having some conversation, and he said something about God punishing him for things. And I said, Jack, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. And he said to me, don't be so sure of yourself. I want to tell you that I'm very sure of myself. I absolutely firmly believe that. I don't think that God ever punishes anybody. We punish our own self. Yes, there's tons of things going on in the world out there, but we bring those things on ourselves. God is not sitting somewhere doing this. And then I saw on television a man, one of the religious stations, and the minister was saying, you know, God is not an eye in the in a cloud in the sky, and God is not this, and God is not that. God is actually a person. Well, in this teaching, God is not a person, people. God, that's why God doesn't sit in judgment. God is not anthropomorphic. He does not have arms and legs and eyes and ears and all. We have those things, and this thing that we call God operates through us and uses our hands. So when we're doing something, it's God's hands that's doing that. And that's what metaphysics is all about. Metaphysics is the idea that there's something greater behind you. There's this thing that we call God. We don't know exactly what that is. But we have a feeling inside of us that there is something bigger than we are. And that bigger thing is operating in, as, and through us, and we are connected to that. That's why we can make that statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Now, the other thing all metaphysics means is beyond the physical. There's something going on behind the scenes. There's something going on behind this physical universe that we're looking at. And that is what metaphysics is all about. What is causing this? Now, in this teaching, we also know that our thoughts, this thing that we call our mind, is powerful. And that thoughts go someplace and do something. Now, what has happened in the metaphysical movement, they call it new thought. And it's not new thought. It has been around since day one. There are new thought churches, there are new thought things, and people think they have just now recently discovered this idea that your thoughts are powerful, that using your thoughts you can bring something into your reality. But that's been known, as I say, since day one. Then the other thing about this whole movement called metaphysics or new thought, whatever, people want to make it into a religion. You may do that if you wish, but it's not necessary. As I said before many times, this teaching, you cannot take what you've already learned about religion and so forth and graft this on top of it. And so many people want to do that. And so many religious churches then immediately start to become Christian. They start to to come up with all kinds of rituals and whatnot, and traditions, you see. When I had a church in Tennessee, a woman said, "Oh, I just love religious science because of all the traditions it has." Religious science doesn't have any traditions. If it does and people are doing that, it shouldn't be. It's traditions that gets us into trouble. Because why do we make this statement? God makes all things new if we're going to rely on tradition. And many religions rely on tradition. The Jewish religion relies on tradition. It's always been done this way. And you cannot get out of that. So they keep using that same idea. This thing that we're talking about is beyond our thoughts and beyond our words. And what we want to know about metaphysics is all things seen come from things that are not seen. Something is causing all the physical world. We see the physical world, we live in the physical world, but we know also that we're spiritual. Now, many people think that, oh, it's a spiritual teaching and all. Well, it is a spiritual teaching. But the main thing about metaphysics or the teaching itself is the idea that you must learn to love yourself. You must learn to love yourself. That is the thing. So with that said, before I continue, Andy, would you read this and pass it on? This is something we did years ago.
Do I really need to pass this around?
Well, you don't need to.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me.
Good for you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me.
And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. This is so important to realize that you are a wonderful individual. This whole teaching boils down to what are you thinking about yourself, not what you're thinking about God. That's a pleasant thing. You can go there. You can do that. But what is your thinking? What are you bringing into your life with your thinking? The whole idea is to learn to be happy, to learn to be filled with joy. That's what we're here for. We're not here for that, all that stress, struggle, strain and all. That's the world teaching you that. I was at UCLA today and the place was just packed, and they said it was because they were closed on Monday, with sick people. Yes, sick people are out there in the world. And religious science does not deny that sickness is there. What we deny is the necessity for it. You cannot say that you have this thing called God, which is absolutely perfect, and then think that there are all these diseases going on, all these melees going on. No, you have to start thinking, I came from perfection, therefore I am perfect. I'm a wonderful human being. You have to learn to control your thinking. You have to learn to see the movements of your mind and to train your mind to think correctly. And many times I told you the whole crux of this teaching is to learn to think the thought that you want to think and to learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. And we don't do that. We allow the world out there. We allow the media out there. We allow all that to tell us how to think and what's going on, and to upset us. This is going on, that's going on. No, it doesn't do any good for you to get upset with the rest of the world. If you maintain peace in yourself, then the people around you notice that. Then there's peace. And then you bring peace and harmony into your home, into your home life, and it spreads out into your community, and from there it spreads and keeps spreading till it spreads throughout the world. But it doesn't do that at the present moment because we buy in to the negative part and we buy into all that. As I said before, all the stuff that you hear and so forth is only 5% of what's going on. The 95% of all the good stuff in the world you don't hear about. And there's always something wonderful going on. But it doesn't sell newspapers, and it certainly doesn't sell commercials on television and so forth. So we think this is the way the world is. So back to my brother, and don't be so sure yourself. Be sure of these things. Be sure that there is such a thing called God. I have no idea what God's like. I have an idea, and my idea changes and it grows, but I do know that this thing called God is for me, that this universe is for me. It's not against me. So it wants to help me. It wants to succeed. And the only way God can succeed is through you. When you succeed, God succeeds. And God wants to succeed. I told this story many times, and recently I just told it to a client of mine about going into business and so forth. Take God as your partner. And the big thing there is the idea of the retailer called Lord and Taylor. People thought there was a person's name by the name of Lord. No, Mr. Taylor went into business with God. And it became Lord and Taylor. And this is what you want to do with your own self, is go into business with God and let God do some of these things. I saw a wonderful thing on the front of a church, and it said, don't work harder than God. Let God do the work for you. Let God do the work through you. Let this type of thing do. So, all things seen come from things that are not seen. And this thing called God, Ernest Holmes in the book Religious Science, or Science of Mind, refers to God as the thing or the thing itself, because it is a thing and we don't know what kind of a thing that it is. And we may never know that, but we do know that we can use it to bring joy, peace, love, and harmony into our life, or prosperity and abundance into our life. Now, Ernest Holmes also says in the book, this teaching is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Many people come to this teaching and think, oh boy, now money's just going to pour to me and this, that, and the other thing. It is not going to. It can pour to you. But it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. If you learn the basics of metaphysics, things will change in your life because you will change. You will see things differently. When you change and see things differently and your attitude changes, then new things come into your life or money comes into your life. Many times I tell you that you cannot be treating for prosperity and abundance when you have a lack and limitation consciousness. It will not mix that way. So you have to change your attitude about yourself and about money and about this whole experience. You have to love this experience that you're going through. You have to realize that it's a process, that you're never going to die. The body is going to leave you. But your consciousness goes on forever. You will continue through eternity. But the world tells us death is the end of everything. It's not the end of everything. This process that we're going through now, we call life. And then we'll go through a process called death, you see. But life, and death is not the opposite of life. And people think, oh, you're either alive or you're dead. No, you're going to always be alive, but you're not going to have this physical body. So then bring it back to the idea that I have this physical body. Be proud of your body. Love this wonderful instrument that you're living in. And let this God or this thing itself work through you so that you see things differently. Now, what we do is we try to make this whole teaching so complicated And we think, oh, we have to learn this, we have to learn that. You don't have to learn that much. What you have to learn is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. What you have to learn is that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. That's what this is about. You, as I said before, you don't have to worship God. You don't have to do that. God is beyond all those things. If it makes you happy to do that, then please do. Be grateful that you're here. Absolutely. But for your own sake, and see the beauty and see the love and joy around. Now, here's a thing from an Oprah book that I have from 07, December of 07, and it's about praying. And it goes this way. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them eloquent. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. You see, all you have to do is be still and know. All you have to do is say, I believe this. You don't have to come up with all these eloquent prayers and all this elaborate stuff. All you have to do is be sure of yourself. Be sure that this thing called God is not punishing you, is not raining down all these hurricanes and floods and all this. All this stuff is natural to this earth that we live in. And, you know, if you have to know all that about it and not say, oh, it's a horrible world we live in and people are horrible and this is happening and that's happening. No, that stuff may be happening. But know that it's not happening to you. Keep it away from your consciousness. If you draw it into your life, then you are going to experience that, you see. Now, the other thing is to realize when we say, when I tell you your gods and goddesses, you are the thing itself. The thing that we're talking about, this thing we're talking about, you are it, you know. So people are looking outside of themselves constantly for God. People are looking outside themselves for happiness. They're always looking outside. There's nothing outside. Everything is going on inside of you. Everything is going on inside of your mind. It is your thinking that's doing it all, that's bringing things into your life. So that's what metaphysics is really all about. It's not a mysterious thing. It's not a new thought thing. Yes, it's maybe new thought to you, but it's not new thought to the world. So if you can remember that what we're dealing with here is a power, it's a force, and it's always a power and force for good. And we only believe in that good power. We don't believe in the opposite, because that would be duality, and we do not believe in duality. We believe in a unity where we're all one with this thing called God. And each and every one of us is part of God, or part of the tapestry of life, and that this thing called God would be absolutely incomplete without each and every one of us. Now, the other thing about to know in this teaching is that you are here at this very moment in time because you're supposed to be here, and that you're always in your right place, doing the right thing, and saying the right thing. This is what you want to know about yourself. So many people are ill-content with their lives. They're ill-content with themselves and so forth. You are the way you are because of your thinking, not because of anything else. It has nothing to do with genetics. It has nothing to do with background upbringing. It has to do with thinking. So change your thinking. That was another big tenet in Science of Mind, which says change your mind, change your life. So when you can change that, see yourself differently, hold yourself in the highest of esteem, know that you are wonderful, then your life is going to change. It's going to do something. So there's no mystery about metaphysics. It just means beyond the physical, and that there's a power there, and that this power, the world teaches you, you know, that God shows favorites. God does not show favorites. This thing we're talking about does not show favorites. God doesn't know big from small. It doesn't know black from white. Only we know those things. So when somebody else gets something or does something, I clap my hands for joy and I say, what God can do for others, God can do for me. I'm delighted that they got what they wanted. Now I'm going to figure out how they did it and I'm going to do it for myself, you see. And that's all you have to do, and you don't have to pray 24 hours a day to get this stuff through. We're talking about something here called intelligence. And you must talk to it intelligently. And then once you talk to it intelligently, you can't say, oh, I'll do that again because maybe God didn't hear me. Maybe God forgot. Maybe this happened or that happened. No. God is very attentive. And hears everything that's going on. So that's metaphysics. Now, August came up with an idea. And we'll try it this evening, since there's just a few of us, that after I talk like this, I would ask, if you have questions, so that you don't, at the end of the month, you don't forget them. So tonight, if you want to have a question, we'll open it up now for this idea of metaphysics. What is metaphysics? If you have any question that needs cleared up, let's clear it up so that we can start this series called Back to Basics. If you do not understand the teaching and you do not understand what metaphysics is, I don't see how you're going to be able to use it. You see? So, does anyone have a question?
Yeah. I want to hit on a little bit when you were talking about the natural disasters that are happening all over the world.
Yes.
You
may
mention about that's just right. the way the natural is working.
Uh-huh.
How then does that correlate when you had once said too that the people have a consciousness,
yes,
of they live there, it draws that into,
yes,
them,
yes,
and it was their time, they got killed, it was their,
I never said that was their time.
Not their time, I'm saying that. But I'm saying, so how is that?
All right.
The difference from that.
All right. But first of all, let's look at this. With metaphysics, what is one of the things that we know? One of the things we know about metaphysics is we have to change our vocabulary. And what did he just say? A natural disaster. Why can't it just be natural? Why do we have to put that thing that it's a disaster, that this is horrible, what's happening, and so forth? No, things are just happening. You see, we qualify. I think it's Shakespeare who said, nothing is good or bad, but the mind make it so. Nothing is good or bad, but the mind make it so. It's our thinking that does that. Now, every home, every community, every city, every neighborhood has a consciousness of its own from the people that live there. And that consciousness draws things to those people. So, these natural disasters and so forth, yes, the mass thinking brings those things. How many people do you know that have been through? I know people that in a hurricane, this was in Florida. Now, it wasn't that they didn't believe in hurricanes, because we know that exists. But they didn't believe that it was a disaster, and they knew that they were safe. The rest of the houses all around them blew down. Their house did not blow down.
How did they know
that it didn't blow down? Well, it was still standing, and they were there. See, it's their faith. It's the idea. Your thinking is doing this. Yes, it's believing. It's absolutely always believing. You see? And then when you don't go into that, I often have this question, oh, you mean to tell me then that airplane, everyone on that airplane was thinking this and that? I don't know what the people were thinking on that airplane. Some of these things I cannot explain. I knew that consciousness, every country has a consciousness of its own. because of the national thinking, you see. And they think differently, and things, you know, do different. You see.
How do you answer them and say, if you're in a, if talking with friends or something like that, and something just happened where hundreds of people were killed,
yeah,
or whatever, and you say a statement, well, it's not a disaster, it's just a natural occurrence. I know some of my friends would just jump all over me.
Well, why would you want to do that to them? Do you know, if somebody says to me, a group of people say, oh, I think this is a disaster, I'm not going to stand up and argue with them and say, oh, no, it's not a disaster, it's just a natural thing. I'm going to say nothing. I'm going to go into my consciousness and say, let them think what they want. I'm going to think differently. Why do you want to battle people?
I don't want to battle
them. Well, you do. You want to make yourself right. You want to make yourself right. You want to make what you think is right. You want to make this teaching right. I never try to make the teaching right. If you don't like it, well, I'm not going to argue with you. If somebody says to me, my brother, I didn't argue with him. I didn't say a word when he said, "Are you? Don't be so sure of yourself." I didn't say, Jack, I am sure of myself, and damn it, and da, 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 da.
So now what happened?
I let him go.
Sorry.
Pardon?
Now what happened? He got sick after you left.
Yeah, he got sick.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what did you think of that?
Well,
I mean, what is this called?
What is, well, my brother, well, I have a lot of personal opinions about why he got sick and so forth. But he always thinks that he's carrying the world on his shoulders. You see? Yes, and that things happen because of that thinking. Yes, but I don't explain that to him. I love him, and I will continue to love him in the state that he's in. He has to, through example, through something else. I send him a wonderful thing from Daily Word about going into the hospital, and that the nurses and doctors and everyone, that God was working through them. He called to thank me for that. Now he came out of the operation, they say, fine. And he didn't have to have a colostomy, didn't have to have any of that kind of stuff. But I didn't say, oh, it's because of my prayer, it's because of this. No. Let him figure that, those things out for himself. You can't battle the world. You have a friend that battles the world all the time. Yes, you know who I'm talking about, but I won't mention
him.
Yeah. You can't battle these things. You have to know it for yourself. And if somebody said, I never argue with people. A lot of my friends have no idea that I do this. A lot of my friends have no idea that I'm a minister. I don't bother to jump into a room and say, ah, guess what, I'm a minister. Now you almost behave yourself and think the way I do. No. Let them think the way they want to, and they'll come around to it on their own. If they ask me, I will help them. But the best way is to set an example. But with the news media and all the stuff that goes on out there, it does look, it's that appearance. And we do not judge by that appearance. My cousin's wife called me today about my brother-in-law, and she said, well, I don't think that we can even get to the hospital now because it's raining so here, and the Susquehanna River's coming up, and it's surrounding the hospital. You see? The Susquehanna River always comes up and flows over its banks. It's been doing it for I don't know how long. The small town came from Duncannon. I didn't live in Duncannon. I lived outside Duncannon. It's always getting flooded. It's always getting flooded. The river is there. When it rains and does stuff, it comes up and flows over its banks. That's a natural thing. I don't say, you know.
What did you say to her?
Well, she's a metaphysician.
She's a metaphysician.
Well, why wouldn't she say that? She noticed that the water's coming up. That doesn't mean you're not a metaphysician. The water's rising. It's going around the hospital.
Didn't she say that we won't be able to get to the hospital? Because
she said that the people probably will not be able to get to the hospital because they won't let you can't drive your car through the fucking river. See?
Mm-hmm.
So... Those that you just have to, you have to look at those things and think of them differently, and don't think, oh, well, the whole world's against me, the whole thing is going to cave in and so forth. No, those things happen. Those things happen. Now I'll change it around. It was Robert Bitzer who said, I don't make the best of things, I make things the best. So when these things come up, I say, my brother's on the top floor. I don't know where he is. Nothing is going to happen to him. The hospital is going to go on. It has emergency things to do that. It can sandbag. It can do anything. It's going to be fine. And the water is going to take its course and go back out the thing. I'm not going to get upset about it in the least. It does me no good to get upset about it. But when people get into this teaching, and because it's different and strange, and it does sometimes make sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense, you want to load it off onto somebody else. You're saying, let them say what they want. It doesn't bother me.
I don't know that for me personally, I ever want to load it off on anybody else. I want to try to understand it for myself.
Well, yes.
For what would I say? What should I say? Or what does?
Well, when you don't
say,
know what to say, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Because if somebody would say to me, God, isn't that horrible? And all those people died. And
Why can't you say to them, no, I don't look at it that way. You're saying.
That's the
individual
people.
Yeah.
Not everybody feels the same
way. Right. Not everyone feels the same way.
Yes.
Yeah. But to fight or to jam this down somebody's throat, you can't. Now, my brother and sister-in-law, I'm around them. They have never picked it up. But my cousin and his wife, they pick it up right away, you see. And they think it's wonderful. And my other cousin, who I visited, she had cancer, and severe, and through talking with her, and she was open and receptive to it, she's fine today. She's fine, you know. Now, she doesn't run around. She feels much better. She's delighted. I send many people daily word. Well, just through that, she picked up things and so forth and was able to get her mind. It's done with the mind. It's done with the thinking. It's not the rest of it out there, what the people are doing. So, but know that this thing called God is for you, not against you, and this whole universe is for you. It wants you to succeed. It wants us. But yes, we have these natural things going on. You know, we have weather, we have this, we have that. So, eventually, using our mind, we'll be able to control these things. But we haven't advanced far enough for that yet. So, we have to keep advancing. But the main thing is to learn to love yourself. And that is the main thing in life. Most people do not like themselves. Most people think they're less than. And you must learn to like yourself. Even with all the things. I was horrible last week. I was dreadful last week. I fell right into the world. Do I hate myself for that? Well, I wish I wouldn't have done it. But I sit down and forgave myself and forgave all those people involved. I don't hold that against me because I know God doesn't hold it against me. You see? All forgiveness starts with you. So, does that make sense? Does that help you? So metaphysics is a wonderful thing. As I said, it saved my life. That's why I'm absolutely, that's why I teach it, that's why I love it, because I saw the difference that it made, how it changed my life. And I've seen how it's changed other people's lives. So, I know that it works. And that it always works, so. Yes. Andy, do you have a question? No? You have everything under control here? You understand this whole thing? Well, maybe I should sit there. How about you, Scott?
Absorbing as much as I can.
Well, I think, as I said last week, I see all the change in you. You may not see it, but I see it. Your face has changed. You seem happy. You seem content with yourself. So there's been some type of a shift in you that, you know. And that's what this whole thing is about, is that small shift that takes place, and you start to think, ah, geez, I like my life. This is a wonderful experience I'm having. And I'm not putting off another day not liking myself. I'm not waiting till I have tons of money. I'm not waiting till I have a lover. I'm not waiting till I have the car, the house, or anything. I'm going to love myself just right here, right now, the way I am. You see? So.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
When you talk about back to the basics, the first thing that came to my mind was the mental equivalent. And I also think about many different tools that we have, such as prayer, gratitude, appreciation, yeah, focus, setting intentions,
yes,
you know, things like that. At prayer, I think it's a prayer. And I guess my question is, where do you, I mean, you can start anywhere, but like when you want clarity on where to start, what's the best way to get clarity on where to start from where you're at in the moment?
Oh, the best way to get clarity is to know that this thing called God is working in us and through you and say that, God, give me clarity. You have to ask, remember? Ask and it will be given to you, knock, and the door will open, seek and ye shall find. All those things work. But we fail, that we think we have to do all the work. Say to God, give me clarity on this. I have no idea. I often say to out loud when I'm in my own house, I have no idea what's going on here. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know you do, God. So handle this for me. Handle this for me. Do it for me. Why do we want a God that doesn't do anything? You see? We don't want that. We want to know that this God is working always for us. You see? Why do you think that God, if we say we've been created by God, right? Why would God create this plane of action? Why would God create human beings and then abandon them in any way, shape, or form? Because God wanted to experience this plane of action. God wanted to experience what it was like to be a human. So that's how God experiences things, is through us. It's through us. But we have been taught that God is outside of us. We've been taught that God is this, that, and the other thing. And we must learn that those are myths that have been built up for centuries. And we have to get over those things. Religion is a very powerful force. And it's a very powerful force for good. Now, when I say religion, I'm not talking metaphysics. I'm talking about the major religions in the world. And it's also a great force for evil in the world. Because it has to protect itself. The same. But everything, there is not one religion, and I'll make this big statement, there's not one religion that's not man-made. There's not one tradition that's not man-made. It's all made up. You see, you think the Jewish religion, that God sent down all those rules and regulations that they go by? No. Do you think the Catholic Church, all that stuff, you know? Do you think God said to the Pope, you must wear the best garments in the world, and all your priests and cardinals and all must always dress beautifully? Now, I'm not against any of that. I think that's wonderful. But they're just trappings. They're only trappings. I think that St. Peter's Cathedral is absolutely the most wonderful thing in the world, and I'm glad that it's there. But that does not mean that that you have to have that in order to get what you want in life. You're saying, to get what you want in life, you have to start to become a witness to your own thinking. How am I thinking? And am I loving myself? And am I loving myself always back to center? When you get off a little, you just love yourself back. And that's all. It's always going to be this back and forth and back and forth. Eventually, we'll stabilize ourselves and we'll stabilize our thinking. But we won't stabilize our thinking if we let everything that comes through our mind, if we entertain everything that comes through our mind. The mind is out there. I mean, it can do anything. I can destroy myself with my thinking. Why do I want to destroy myself with my own thinking? I'm the one that's doing that. So I choose not to do that. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. In the Course in Miracles, one of the things that they say is, choose again. That's the whole idea of life, is choose again. Oh, I chose the wrong thing. Sorry. And you choose again till you get the right thing that you want. You see? You choose something else. If you're at a buffet and you pick up a food that you don't like, you don't have to eat it, do you? You choose something else from the table. Well, that's the way it is with life. Choose something else. Choose what makes you happy. You see, most people don't choose what makes them happy. What do most people choose? What makes somebody else happy? What makes their parents happy? What makes their spouse happy? You see? Because we're puppets of our conditioning, and that's what we have to realize. Am I doing this because I want to do it, or am I doing it out of tradition, out of conditioning, out of the society itself, you know? And society is completely, absolutely fickle. And you have to know that. And it changes constantly. It isn't so many years ago, let's say 100, maybe 150 years ago, to look at Rose's ankle would have been absolutely scandalous. You wouldn't have been able to show your ankle. Now, you can show your ankle. Where did the change come in? It came in with an attitude from society, from a culture, and so forth. All that is, you see. What's wrong with an ankle? Absolutely nothing. When I lived in Georgia, there was a plantation at Stone Mountain, and they had there what was called the Loving Arms staircase, and it was in the front of the mansion. And the Loving Arms staircase, one this side and one that side. Why was that? Because men used this one and women used that one, because a woman going up the steps, you may see her ankle. And see, that would be sinful, that would be wrong, that would be everything. Yeah. But we don't do that. I mean, that's craziness. So you have to say, what is crazy here? Who's saying this is right? Who's saying that is wrong? Come to your own thinking. Come to your own conclusions about things. Don't let society do that, because it's very fickle. It'll change in no time. In your lifetime, things have changed immensely, haven't they? What used to be incorrect is now correct. You see? So you can't let the world do that to you. The only consistency you have in this world that you're living in, or this universe you're living in, is this thing that we call God. That's the only thing, and that's what we call the truth. Truth always remains the same. Everything else changes, and you cannot change with it. You cannot change with it. One of the big things in my lifetime that I remember, years ago, if you went to a cocktail party, and people knew that you went bankrupt, they shunned you, and you didn't talk about that. Oh, he went bankrupt. Now you walk in and everyone has gone bankrupt and there's no shame about it or anything. No shame about it. You see? Attitudes change. Culture changes. You must look at that and say, what is it? And why am I thinking this? Am I thinking this because it's absolutely what I want to think? Or am I a puppet to this conditioning? Am I thinking what the world is thinking? Because the world is never going to tell you the right thing. The world is not going to teach you to succeed. It's going to teach you to fail. And it's going to tell you how hard everything is. You have to realize that that's not true. And if you think that's true and you buy into that, then that's the way your life is going to be. That is the way your life is going to be. You see? And you hear that with people. Oh, that runs in our family. How does it run in your family? You know? It doesn't run in your family. It only runs in your family because you keep thinking that it runs in your family. So, be your own person. Learn to think for yourself. And look at this mind of yours, and when it's doing that and trying to do you in and so forth, go back to that thing, and I have to remind myself, and especially the other last week when I went off the deep end, you have to argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must make sure that you win. You must never allow your mind to win. You see? Because the mind will do you in. That part of your mind, for some reason, does that. If it's the ego, whatever it happens to be, it will do you in. So, and my mind told me, oh, you were bad, you were wrong, you were this, you were that, Dallas, you were that. And some of that was true. But still, I forgave myself for all of that, you know. And I'm not perfect, darn it. You know, I may have come from perfection, but I'm not perfect yet. So I make mistakes. But I'm able to say that. You see? And many people get into this teaching and they think, oh, I have to do it this way and I have to ripple, da 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 da. No. The whole idea of metaphysics, and there were many, many metaphysicians around. Ernest Holmes, we just have the book called Science of Mind, and most people in metaphysics have studied that part of it, but there are other metaphysicians out there, you know. Mary Baker Eddy was a metaphysician, so you should read some of her things. But anyway, we base so many things on what Ernest Holmes said. And one of the things that Ernest Holmes said, you must remember that this teaching is open at the top. And what has happened with this teaching, which happens with everything, people say, oh, that's it. We've learned all we can. We'll never learn all we can. We only know this much of anything. The same way if you go, that's in science and everything. Now, science and electronical things or whatever they're called are advancing, but still it's a minute amount of knowledge that we have. But our mind wants to tell us we know it all. We know very, very little. We know very, very little. We are advancing, but we still cannot say that we know it all. And this is where we get ourselves into trouble. So with metaphysics and with this teaching, you cannot say, oh, well, everything about it has been said. Everything about it has been said. Other religions have done that. They've put a lid on it. And they have stopped. And the other thing I want to bring up is, Ernest Holmes never meant for this to become a religion, people. Ernest Holmes did not want churches. No. The people around him convinced him to have churches. Because money could come in by that way. That would be a source of money, a source of income, and an organization springs up, and this springs up, and that springs up. But it's not. You can make it into a religion if you want. But this thing called metaphysics, this idea that all things come into the world from things that are haven't been here before, or what's seen comes from things that are not seen, runs through all religions. This thread of truth weaves itself through all religions. And you must find that thread for yourself and say, well, that makes sense and that does not make sense. You see? How many people in Christianity absolutely believe that Jesus was born in a manger? Well, that's a bunch of hokey pokey. That's not true. It's a myth. It's a lovely myth. And it doesn't matter if it's a myth, you see. What matters is what you are thinking about that. It's a lovely, lovely story. And if it helps you, then use that. But don't make something real that is not real. The only thing that's real is your thinking, is your mind. So learn to control that mind, learn to control that thinking, and bring joy, happiness, love into your life. And when you do that, it will spread out to everybody else. It'll spread out to everybody else. So that's what metaphysics is all about. Learning to control your thinking, realizing that there's something beyond the physical that is there for you to be able to use to change your life and to see things differently. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.